Van Jones' book, Rebuild the Dream, where he really outlines, first of all, his tenure in the White House, but also in terms of what the progressive movement should be doing. He joins us this morning. Hey, Van, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, man, you've been breaking this thing down, and it's very interesting. You make it clear that this is a critique and analysis of what went right, what went wrong. You don't hold back in terms of mistakes that you felt the Obama administration did, but also mistakes the progressive movement did by essentially silencing themselves and not challenging or, as you lay out, pushing the president on a progressive agenda.
Yes. Well, I think we made this, you know, first of all, you know, making the history that we made is very easy to understand why we would come out of the ballot booth cheering instead of marching. But the challenge that we faced was that it's not like we elected Dr. King to be president. You know, no American president has ever done the things he's needed to do without having a positive movement in the street marching. Even LBJ, who passed all that civil rights legislation, he wouldn't have done that if you hadn't had Selma. He wouldn't have done that if you hadn't had Dr. King, Fannie Lou Hamer, Bayard Rustin, Ella Jo Baker out in the streets pushing. And for whatever reason, we finally got a black president and a progressive president, but the only people in the streets were the Tea Party, and they were pushing the wrong direction. So you have to have the right president, but you also have to have the right movement in the street.
But what do you make of, and we see this, and we saw this weekend with Mayor Cory Booker, that if you have someone who might even be a progressive makes any kind of critical assessment of the president or actions or want more, they get lots and lots of heat, and then folks just sort of back down. And so a lot of folks are like, man, I'm not stepping out there and pushing because I don't want to catch all the drama.
I understand. Hey, listen, I understand that, and at the same time, you know, President Obama has a house. He's living right now in a very nice house. There's 11 million Americans that may not have a house in terms of facing foreclosure, et cetera, and we have to be able to be smart enough, and we have to be as sophisticated as the system we're trying to change, which means you have to defend the president when he's right, and you have to push him and encourage him when the forces are trying to make him do things that are wrong. And it does not do him a service to only criticize him and to only find fault. At the same time, just like when you're raising a child, when you have a friend, when people begin to do things that are not living up to their highest expectation, you do have to put on that pressure and call them up. It's not about calling him out all the time, but when you don't call him up, then the other forces who are not afraid to criticize begin to dominate. And I remember when I was in the White House, you know, those other forces get very, very loud. And when you get very, very quiet, it creates an opportunity for our interests not to get met.
Well, Van, and Roland,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can't we just put off the criticism till we get him back in office? There are enough people running against him, talking about him, criticizing him. Can't we, as a people, just stop for a minute? Let's get him back in office, and then we can start the criticism again.
Well, let me. I would think actually that would be almost a continuation of the mistake. For instance, there are two issues. One of them is home mortgages. The other one is student loans. Raising those issues has actually created more space for him to actually then take the right action. My understanding is in a couple of weeks he's going to come out for a big home refinancing package to try to help folks stay in their houses. Well, the fact that we have not muted our criticism of Fannie and Freddie and other entities he does have some influence over, I think has pushed that up on his to-do list. At the same time, I don't think anybody would say that Rebuild the Dream or any other group has undercut him or undermined him for the election. Same with student loans. So there are issues, not necessarily going after him directly, but there are issues that he can still do more for. And then by him doing more, it creates space for people to be more enthusiastic about the election.
But my point is you need 4 more years for him to actually do more.
Hey, listen, he had Bush had 8 years to mess it up, and Obama needs at least 16 years to clean it up.
So, okay. So can we get 8?
But I think it's a mistake.
Can we just agree to get him back in office so he can get another another 4-year try at getting this right?
Yeah. Well, I think we have to do two things and not one. We have to reelect the president, and we have to reenergize the movement to make sure that he's not just out there and there's nobody in the streets to push the agenda. And I think that we have been so concerned that if we say anything that would say, listen, You've got a B plus right now. Let's go and get that A plus, brother. But then that becomes a negative, and then we begin fighting each other rather than sticking to the issue.
Folks, the book is Rebuild the Dream. I can tell you he really breaks down the progressive movement, Occupy Wall Street, Tea Party, gives kudos, but also throws arrows. And again, I think it's a really strong analysis of what went right, what went wrong, but also the blueprint, I think, moving forward. The book is called Rebuild the Dream by Van Jones. Van, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, Van.